Blog Talk Radio.
Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. There's still issues with the Blog Talk servers, but they are working to fix these. So tonight, Wild Bill thought it would be a good time to stop our study of Isaiah Part 8. We have tried three times, and three times there has been some sort of issue. We'll come back to the study when they tell us the issue has been fixed. So to make sure we don't get cut off, we're going to do a live show on the topic of working for God. Hear what the Bible tells us regarding this. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There is always something that everybody can do for the kingdom of God. Sometimes it might be in support in cleaning the church or taking care of the church lawn. Some share in their testimonies and others teach or preach. Some give rides or just take time to visit the shut-in and sick. The key is that these must be things done from the heart and never looked on as a job. Here's another scripture that Wild Bill thinks would fit into the topic tonight. Romans 12:11. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many people get hung up on how they feel they cannot do anything for the kingdom. This is a lie of Satan and our minds. Great men of God like Moses had to fight this battle. So, Blog Talk Mom?
How are you doing?
Hello?
Sister Star. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, am I loud enough? Because I have, I sort of set me up a little place here and have the phone propped up. So if get to
fine.
Okay. I want to thank you very much, Sister Starla, for all that you do for the program and for Wild Bill. And I think it's excellent that we are going to do this tonight. I think he was really led of the Spirit of God. And I have contacted several people because of the timing, and, you know, the closest people to me have jobs and get up earlier, children have to get up early, but they may call in, and if they do, you feel free to interrupt me anytime so that they can go on with what they have to say. Would that be good?
That'd be great.
I really don't understand Facebook. But I was on there, I'm Lyrical Lively on Facebook, and you know how sometimes it will show you something from years ago? And it was Joy,
yeah.
Joy Bells, and it was, I think it was 2010. It was a Facebook entry where she was inviting everybody to hear her brother teach on Blog Talk Radio. I thought that was so sweet. It was just because she really was the one that, she's like a cornerstone for sure, because she's got me now started with the YouTube, and I'm really enjoying that also. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and then again, if anybody is listening and you want to comment, we have some of the greatest soul winners and outreach people in this congregation, as great as any place I've ever been. And the bishop, Pastor Holland, who is, I think, 82, 83 years old right now, and it was one of the most dynamic people, I think, in her book. She would go years and years ago to revivals way out in the country in different places, and 50 people would receive the Holy Ghost. And she is such a dynamic soul winner, and so is the caregiver, our pastor's wife's mom, Sister Nancy, has always been, she's just, when I first moved 15, 18 years ago to Jesus Name Tabernacle Church, I was over at their house visiting, and the young people were there, and she was getting ready for youth service. I'm talking about Sister Nancy Howe, who was the youth leader, and she, I mean, you should have seen Starla. I mean, this was a meal for a king, and I said, why don't you just go get some pizza? And she looked at me like, what tree did you fall out of? I mean, these were her babies. And they got off work and they came. She had baked goods and all kinds of just awesome food. And that really spoke to my heart. She was given the best. No shortcuts. And I know there's times that we don't have any choice but to take a shortcut. But it's that kind of devotion that people feel that. They know that, and I guess almost every family that sat under her ministry back then They're either preachers, preachers' wives, Sunday school teachers. It's just amazing the seed that has came up in their lives. And as I studied today over a lot of different notes, it's, you know, some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. And it seemed like I heard that differently in a more positive way. And I was led to the scripture in Matthew, it's the 25th chapter, and there's about 10 verses here. I'm just going to go ahead and read them. It says, "Then he which had received the one talent," and I'm not going to think that of that as singing and preaching and all that, because that is definitely a talent, but I'm thinking and seeing it as an ability, our ability to go out, what God has endued with us, to go out and win the lost and to do what he's placed us for here. For then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine." Okay, here's what his Lord said. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away from him even what he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, there's a lot of information in those 10 verses. But what stood out to me is that there can be an attitude that has no gratitude in it when we realize that we have been born again for a purpose. We are born again, and God has selected and given each one of us a talent, an ability that we are to use. It was given to us so that we will use it in the kingdom of God, that we will be the light of the world. We will be like a city set on a hill. And the notice that the guy with one talent, the person, whatever, he saw God in such a negative way. Severe. Oh, he was fierce. Yeah, you're going to save everybody anyway, whatever. We don't ever want to go there at all. Ever. God is a God of love. And he is, because of that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's our message. That's our message in the way we talk, the way we think, and the way we live. And so I just wanted to say that. And if you want to say something, Sister Starla, I don't want to take all the time. Or if Wild Bill or anyone else, does anyone want to say anything? You press 1 on your phone, and you can speak. Excuse me. No one's ready?
No, you've got it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, now everybody help me out, because there's so much. There's people. We have one particular lady that's called in before, and her name is Casey John East. And she has a wonderful husband, Jimmy John East, and a daughter, Lola. And I've never in my life seen anyone as devoted, dedicated, and with such an awesome testimony to win the loss. It's just, she could come on and just fill up a program easily, sharing the things that God has called her to do. Some of the things are so outstanding. She's lived for God, and I think it's 19 years. She's been clean of all drugs, all of everything like that. The healings that have taken place in her emotionally, physically, mentally, every way, and how that now all of the people that knew her are being drawn to what God has done in her life, and that will work. It will be like a magnet when we are stabilized with the Lord, and there's so many others also. There was a scripture years and years ago as I was reading through the Bible that convicted me tremendously as far as outreach, and it's found in Ezekiel. It's the third chapter, and it's 17 through 21. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning for me. Now this is not just for Ezekiel. Anything that's in the Bible, we know that God has placed it there to lead us and to give us direction and to show us what we must do. In the 18th verse, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Think about that. That doesn't mean we run around accusing people, putting them down, telling them they're going to bust hell wide open. But it's a whole different, it's not like the guy that just had the one talent. The other one, he went out and he doubled it. And then he got even more because of his attitude towards God and his yieldedness. Yet, in Ezekiel 3 and 19, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Sister Starla, when I read that the first time, it was like you picked up a phone and someone said it right in your ear. I mean, it was not just the written word. It let me know that I was to live a life and be full of God's word. I began at that point to just hunger after the word of God. I began to reach out, and God gave me experience after experience. And I've shared this one before, that sometimes when you come to the Lord and, you know, you and your husband are not in church, and, you know, there's that friction that happens. And I was praying, and we hadn't really got into church, but I was making an effort. And we lived on Bethany Road in Arkansas, and I was down praying. And my husband and I were arguing. That's why Bill's dad. And we was spatting about something, and I thought, you know what? You know, God could just slay for me. I know this is awful. I'm laughing, but it was really pitiful. I mean, I thought, you know, I don't know. I'm ashamed of you, but anyway, I thought, Lord, you could just slay me. You know, I've got everything right. And so there was a knock at the door, and I went. I knew it was him, knew it was Jim, and I went to the door, and the Lord said, you tell him you're sorry for the way you've been acting. And I thought, that is not the Lord. I thought, I just stopped in my tracks. I mean, I had been crying and crying and crying, and it was just very plain, you tell your husband you are sorry for the way you've been acting. So I opened the door, and there my handsome husband was standing there, and I had met him a few times with not a lot of love, for sure. And I said, Jim, the Lord has told me to tell you that I'm sorry for the way I've been acting. And I don't remember if that was the exact words. But I tell you, you talk about how things go viral on Facebook. If we could have got that, a video of that, none of us would ever have to work again. That was priceless. But what that did, I'm telling you, it turned our world around, because God knows that love will do more than all of the fighting and squabbling and counseling. And I'm not against counseling. But, I mean, God has got a power. He's got, I just want to shout a little bit right here, but I'm going to calm down. But anyway, through that, then the Jim was very much aware that God was changing me. And I didn't dress especially godly. In fact, I never criticize anybody that I see, no matter how bad it looks. I feel sorry for them, but I did not dress. It was just awful. I was, I guess, 18, 19, 20, something like that. And God began to deal with me. I mean, really, seriously deal with me about the way I dressed. And it was patient and powerful the way God would speak to me. So, and, you know, I changed, and I began to get different outfits and everything. And one day Jim just, I mean, he knew it was real. He knew it was real. That was a more of a witness than if I'd have been shaking my finger at him, telling him, you're going to hell, you better line up, there's a way and an attitude, and I have not totally accomplished it yet, and I'm only 78, but I'm working on it, because there's a way to touch and to really make it work. And then later on, there were just other things that happened. I want to share one other thing. I don't know why I hadn't planned even on saying this, but Jim would wake up, and he didn't want me to work. He wanted me to stay in the home, which was a beautiful thing. He was the best thing that ever came into my life. He was handsome, powerful, just wonderful. And so was I. And then the other side of that, we weren't really all that good. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just sort of jumping back and forth. But the way that I lost my train of thought on that particular thing with Jim, but he was looking for humility, reality. He knew better than I did that if you really had God and you really professed to have been born again, then there would be a life that would reflect that. And so that speaks. Oh, I remember what I was going to tell you now. He would wake up and he would tell me that he wanted a cup of coffee. But the way he said it was he'd wake up and just yell the word cup. And it, something about that just really annoyed me. And I had heard this story about Abraham and Sarah and how Sarah called Abraham Lord. I thought, really? And I mean, really? That didn't compute at all. So the next, I wasn't connecting it, but he got up, he woke up and he said, cup. And so I poured the coffee and I took it in there and I said, here, Lord, may I give you your, I don't know exactly how I said it. Again, it was priceless. He thought, this lady's really got something. It's really real. And then he began to work with me, go to church with me. So what I'm talking about is what Bob Bill wanted us. We have the power through the love of God to be the light that shines in the darkness, the salt that will flavor everything that is around us. And the enemy knows that. So we are in a warfare. So it went on to say, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. Now this to me spoke so much, because God was drawing me away from my friends that I had been, I sure hadn't been living for God with them. And I'd worked with them, and just he was drawing me away. And what he was doing was establishing that seed of the Word of God in me, so that when I did meet them again, they came to God. They live for God. They live for God. There was girls that I had worked with in some of these places, and they lived for God and were workers for God. And God, you can't lose if we do it God's way. So that was my first thought. But then there are methods that we can go out. We could go to trailer parks. We can go out on the street. We could go, in our business, whatever we do, we have opportunities at times to be humble and to manifest the love of God. Now, I had an insurance company that made a problem with, they canceled, and I had paid it, and it was just confusion. I called the insurance company 5 times, and they, it was confusion. They weren't calling me back. Well, what had happened, the main lady that worked in the office had a better job, a much higher paying job. I didn't know that at the time. So when I called them, the fifth, I was not nice. I wasn't really bad. I said, this is the fifth time I've called you. And they got so nice to me after that. Isn't that sweet? But you know what? I had to go and tell them I was sorry. You know, I really needed to tell them. I said, I'm really sorry. And they said, no, this is really confusing. This has been, you know, and then we got on the same page. And I felt like a big load had lifted off of me. You know, that because I don't want to go out and not show humility and long-suffering. Because these are the, when God said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, well, how are we going to manifest? Who, what's it for if we don't use it? And use it in our, you know, in our everyday life with our children and whatever. Okay, is there anyone wanting to say something?
No, just go on.
All right, I will. There's in Ephesians, there was where Ephesians 2:2, it says, wherein in time past, Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know, we before we come to God, it's a course, like a path, and we walk according to that course. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now, this is a warfare. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, what? Walk in them. So, he go in 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now he's talking about all this, that we walk with him, we walk with a new mind, we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And then he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this is our ministry. As we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are commending what has happened right in the sight of God. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, this is very plain as in the teaching that we have the light, we are the salt, and God is the one flowing through us. We have a testimony for sure. And then there's going to be those that will not listen. They don't want any part of it. There's going to be those within the church that go away like the lost coin. And I know that while Bill was Those are the best scriptures when he played that song, which I really appreciated, the lost sheep at the very beginning. When Jesus used the three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep is so, it's just so basic. And I've seen diagrams and pictures and videos of one little lost sheep that is strayed away from the fold. He is totally defenseless. Anything in the world can happen. Wild beasts can devour him. He can get into some type of shrubbery-like thing, and it literally takes a hold of his wool, and he cannot free himself at all. If he rolls over on his back, it's called cast. He's cast down. We get that phrase, cast down. He can't get back up. His little legs are too short, too weak. His body is too heavy. He cannot get back up. He can't. Not that he won't or he might, could. He cannot. And then he gets another disease called scab, and that scab is the most hideous thing that can happen to a little sheep. It gets in sores all over him, and he will take around his nose, these certain kind of bugs are really drawn to him if he has scab, and he will take his little head and literally beat himself to death, banging his own head. Now, does that not describe to us how we are without God, without our shepherd? We're wandering around. We're vulnerable to any and everything that could come and devour us. And we get coated in all of the habits and all of, we're hooked within with all the drugs and all of the anger and all of the emotions and everything. And then the good shepherd comes, and he comes to where we are, and he picks us up. And he takes us, and he dips us in his own blood, literally. But then they dip him in, dip theirs in a solution that will kill all of that. They shear them off. And you know what? A lot of times we like all of it but the shearing. And when God brings us back to him, he's going to do some things that shear all of that stuff off of us. And we agree to that, and we enjoy that. And then he puts a brake on us. And that is not breaking bones. That's hideous. That he would never do that. And that, I don't know how that got started. But they will put like a little weight on them that draws them to the shepherd. And so these things come into our life, and we should not resist them, but be thankful for them and appreciate that the shepherd came and got us. So what little sheep is out there that God is dependent on us? He's going to be out there. He's going to stink. He's going to have all kinds of problems. All kinds. Maybe he's on a street corner and he's got a sign up, "I can't feed my family." Well, you know, and you say, "Oh, you know, that's just a gimmick." That, I tell you what, it might be a gimmick, but I cannot pass it up. And if they've got children, and I mean, how can I pass them up when he didn't pass me up? I've been broken down by the road. I can't tell you where all. And God's always been there for me. And so even if maybe in giving it to someone, and you use wisdom. I know I think wisdom is a fancy word for selfishness. But, you know, you still, you know, there is wisdom in certain situations. But we give as unto the Lord. Someone got on to me about something that I had done in a certain situation. Well, the police had actually told us not to give any more of anything in this because these people were definitely they weren't criminals, but they were just using the public. Somehow that doesn't turn me away that much, you know, but whatever. He was, you know, telling me, warning me, and I said, I don't give like to them. I give as unto the Lord. And then the Lord, he'll make them be responsible for what they do with it. And then he promised me over and over, if I will give, he will give to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How? He will move on others to give and replace that. And I really believe that. And we go out to you could go into a trailer park to get police, permission from the police department, and we have really close connections with our police department, several people go and take a breakfast and at the main office once a month, I believe, and we keep really, we have an ACTS class, which is alcohol chemical treatment class. It's a part of our church on Wednesday night where we have food and testimonies of people that have gotten off drugs and letting them talk about the situations that they are encountering. And it's a beautiful thing. There's doors everywhere if we want to be available. That's the main thing. Are we available? Okay, I've talked a lot. Is there anyone want to say something? Press 1.
Hey, Blog Talk Mom, I really appreciate what you say, but one problem we have with this type of message, and I'm not trying to say anything against what you said, because we do have to go back to the basics of understanding of what God did for us. You know, there should be some appreciation there when you were lost and all of a sudden you were hopeless and everything was a road to destruction and the wages of your life was sin and that was going to be death that kept us separated from God. And as I was sharing with church, a guaranteed reservation for a place called hell. You know, there should be some appreciation and some things there that just make you want to share what it is that you have within you. But there are some things that go along with that that a lot of times in church we have a tendency to show needs and we show people that are doing works, which, by the way, Blog Talk Mom, she wears more hats for outreach and ministry than any four or five people that I know. And I'm like, I don't know how she does it at her age. I just like, wow. But it's because her heart is to minister to that which was lost, to share what it is that she has. But there's one thing that Satan likes to come against people, and he, you know, we have the whole thing with Moses to where, you know, he's sitting here, like, well, I can't speak, you know. But God will put people in our lives that we can follow after, people that's elders that's been there before. There's some serious spiritual warfare if you're not prepared and you just jump out there and start wanting to do some sort of ministry on your own. There's some things you got to be prepared. You got to put on that full armor of God. You got to understand that your ministry is not going to be a ministry. There's a Nona Freeman has a book called The Power of the Blessing. And we have the power to bless. But if you still have blessings and cursings in your life and in your mouth and in the things that you think, then guess what? You're going to be a stumbling block to people out there. So you got to do some things to prepare. One of the things I loved when Blog Talk Mom and one of her friends, Joyce Trimble, got in church, they wrote their personal testimony down of where God had brought them from, and they went and shared that. Then there's nothing more important and more powerful than a personal testimony. You don't have to be able to recite half the Bible. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of where God's going to take you on your walk. You don't have to know what your finished product is going to be. You don't have to worry about those things. What you have to do is just share what it is that God's given you. And as Blog Talk Mom was sharing, the people that came in from her sharing her testimony with people, and they saw it was real. They saw that there was something that had changed. It wasn't one of those yo-yo things or just emotional things like so many people have. We have a tendency today to not really want to. We look at how many people we baptized in Jesus' name and how many people say they took God as their Lord and Savior. But we got to get back to real repentance first. And one of the keys to real repentance is you turn away from those things that were in your life. You don't keep doing the same thing. It's not, I'm sorry, and you keep doing the same things. There is no sorry to that if there's no real repentance. But Satan wants everyone to think you can't do anything. You know, I don't have any talents. I don't have any skills. I'm bashful. There's not anything that I can do when it comes to the kingdom of God. You know, well, Brother So-and-so or our Blog Talk Mom, you know, wow, look at all that she does. You know, she's meant to do those things, but not me. And what we do is we want to try to limit what God can do in our life. And God never, ever intended for us to do that because we can't see the end result in the beginning like God can. I am now compared to where I was before. And I see some of the things along the path of my life, and I look back and I'm like, wow, how did I get here and how did I get there? And then there's other times I'm just amazed of where God came in and took someone that was broken. My relationships with people was broken. My whole mindset of how the world was supposed to work was broken. And yet just a little at a time in that process, God's brought it up to where we minister in church and we do blog talk radio. And I can't tell you how many years that, you know, when I was a kid, we went and cleaned the church and cut the grass outside. And then I got to see some of that with my family for years. You know, my wife was faithful to that was she looked at it as a ministry, not something that she did for the people that were there, but she did those things unto God. The Bible says if you give them just a cool glass of water for someone who's thirsty, just a cool glass of water. There's so much that Satan wants you to think, well, you know, not me, not me. But when you stop and realize the one thing that for assurance you can read in the Bible, that we're all of the same, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet there's a harvest out there. There's people that were broken like we were broken, and they're hurting just like we were hurting. And we have the answer. But yet we act like, you know, well, I know you shouldn't talk about religion, and, you know, they say don't talk about religion and politics. I wish that was the case. Sometimes I get so sick of church people talking about politics and all the things going on and the hopelessness that's going on around the world. And I want to shout to them sometimes, like, stop and listen to what you're saying. It's like someone coming into church and they just prayed through and you said, brother, I don't know how to tell you this, but man, things are fixing to really get bad for you. We actually prophesy badness on these people and they're like, what have I got myself into? They'll find out about the tests and the trials and the struggles on their own, but we can encourage them and say, hey, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Paul said, if I make my bed in hell, that God's there with me. You know, we can encourage with things of what we've seen to how God, the power of the Holy Ghost will make you an overcomer. It will lead you. It will guide you into all truth. Stay faithful to come to church. Stay faithful as each thing as you learn it in your life. It may be the first thing you may learn and hear about may be paying tithes. There's going to be people saying, all them preachers, all they're after is money. You know, it's all about money. It's all about money. Well, honey, I hate to tell you this, but the tithe belongs to God. It ain't yours in the first place. And if you want to steal from God, go for it. But if that's the first lesson that you get and you understand is that I am supposed to give the tithe, the tenth, back to God, and then I can give offerings in any way that I see fit to do it, then guess what? You lock in on that and you do it faithfully. You get God the first fruits faithfully. And guess what? He will add to that. I was sharing with church how I've been praying, Lord, add to my faith, add to my faith. Please add to my faith. And then all of a sudden I had this pain in the lower part of my stomach, and it was one of those things that was spreading and it was getting worse. And I was like, oh, man, this is not too good. And I reached out to a brother that's going to nursing school, and he's working in the medical field, and he asked some questions, and he says, you need to get to an emergency room. You could die. You know, this could be this, and this, and none of them are things that you need to put off because it gets worse. It don't get better. But it's like I felt through the Holy Ghost. God said, you've been asking for faith. Trust me. Trust me in this right here. And I thought, Lord, that ain't what I meant. I want you to pour some faith down into me. But it don't work that way. He takes us through the process. And it's like I told someone the other day, you cannot pass a test that you don't take. And so then I thought, like, well, I got this Mayo Clinic hotline thing. One of the guys at work mentioned to me. So I called that number, and they were like the same one. You need to get to an emergency room. You could die. You know, and even if it, and you get to thinking, man, this is bad. This is serious. And so it's easy sometimes to, you have to decide what voice you want to listen to. Are you going to be the salt and the light that God calls us to be? Are you going to hide your light under a bushel? Because this is all part of a process to make us a finished vessel. And I have something that God's been just really turning over my mind just over and over here the last couple months, and that God is a God of completion. He don't start a work that he don't intend to finish. And when he went to that cross, it was his will that none should perish, It's for whosoever will. And that has not changed. And it will not change until the point that this dispensation ends and God comes back for his bride. That's not going to change. But yet, we get this thing of thinking, I put my logic to it. And so, as I was telling this brother, I thought, man, you're almost like the devil talking to me here. You're like, have you been to the doctor yet? Been to the hospital? You need to go. It ain't going to get better. And I'm like, man, you're almost like Satan talking to me, you know? And I said, and I was trying to relate to him how that I was trying to stand in faith on, you know, of believing that God wanted to show me how that he would add to my faith. And in that process, it was one of those things that I realized it's our choice whether we're going to allow God to, if we're going to be submissive to let him do a work inside of us to change us. And there's one thing that we keep forgetting, and I love this in the Donna Freeman's book, The Power of the Blessing, and man, there's such a huge message on the power of the blessing. But when you go out and you bless others with your testimony, when you bless others with things of just kindness, when you bless others that are sometimes mean to you with love, when you bless others with the light of Jesus that shines through you, you see, sometimes people can come up and they can treat you really bad and you won't have much love to give those people. You may not have any. But guess what? The love of God can circumvent all that hardwired things inside of you and you can share God's love with those people. But it just takes being willing to be submissive to God's will. Are you going to sometimes say the wrong things? Like, I'll never forget this poor man named Bill Trimble. He just got prayed through and got in church, and they sent him out with me, of all people, to go out on visitation on a Saturday. And we're out knocking on doors, and we're just having a great old time. And all of a sudden, we knocked on this one door, and this people's bedroom was right next to the front door. And you heard them holler, "Who is it?" And I hollered back, "It's the police, open up." And that poor man, he jumped off the porch and ran around behind these people's house, and you could hear him, and he'd run back, and he's like, "It's not the police," and which they were pretty quick to get to the door after I said that. And I'm sitting there, of course, I grew up with the master of sarcasm, and you know, I could never come close to doing those things. And here this poor man is, he's just getting into church. They sent him out with me, and I pulled this. But it turned out to be, those people thought it was funny, and we sat down with them. We had a long visit. And later that day, some of the people that we had went, and there were some elder people that were sort of shut in, and they wanted you to take cookies, and they wanted to talk. And everybody has a story. Everybody, you know, we want to broadcast and tell all the things about ourselves. To most people, they as soon as they start hearing you say something, they start relating to something within themselves. But see, when you get to talking about God, if they don't have God there, and you start saying, "I was a sinner, I was lost, you know, God came into my life, and these are the changes that are there. There's power that's there." But there again, you got to be spiritually mature enough that you either are with somebody that has a spiritual maturity to help lead you through this process, or you need to have enough there that you don't curse and bless. I've seen so many times where people get involved with youth ministries and things, and the next thing you know, these kids are drawn up to this person, and what happens, they're going out there and they're living a double lifestyle. And you cannot live a double lifestyle when it comes to living for God. As I said before, the Bible speaks of having blessings and cursings coming out of your mouth. And so it's one of those things that you got to be willing to be submissive, but you're not out here all alone in that process. When you're plugged into a good church, that the heart of the church is outreach and ministry and sharing what God has done in your life, it's going to be contagious. But there again, it's just like anything else in life. You can sit on the sideline. You can make excuses. "Oh, I can't do this. Oh, that's not for me. I'm not a speaker. You know, I don't like people. I don't like being touched. I don't like touching people." All these different excuses can come in. And the one thing that always comes back, and I know that it was God in my life as a teenager, because I definitely am not one of those people that I love to touch people. I'm not one of those kind of people. But we had a man in our church that had cancer. And I still can't believe that I volunteered to go. And was it 2 hours or 4 hours that we'd sit over? Do you remember Blog Talk Mom?
I think it was 2 hours.
I think it was too. And, you know, I would go over there for 2 hours, and the only relief you could give this man was to take this Nineveh cream and rub it on the areas where the cancer had come in. It was devastating his body. And I would do that, but it was one of those things I didn't see it as rubbing this man with lotion, because when I would do that, I'd pray, God, please, he's just faint. Lord, please help this man be able to get some sleep. You know, you see us here, and there's not anything in ourselves we can do, and you realize your hopelessness in yourself, but then the power that you can have through God. And I saw something in that process that I would have never learned if I hadn't been plugged in, to not being about Bill, but being about this brother in the church that was going through this process, and this poor family that was just not getting hardly any sleep, and those things that are there. See, there's things that comes when you bless someone, it comes back to you. And with God, it's not one of those things that comes back to you even. He multiplies blessings back to you. He always multiplies in everything that he does. And that's God's way of doing things. So I know I've sort of taken this in another direction here, Block Top Mom, from where you were going, but I think the two really fit together to make it important. We are all called to be salt and to be light, all of us, some shape, form, or fashion. So did you have something to come back with on that, or did I just totally just mess everything up?
No, it was total balance, like you said, because I felt like we would do that when I was looking at the scriptures that I kept, you know, going back to, and because it's all a part of it. We can't really give what we don't have, and we sure don't want to be unprepared for the situations that we're going to face. There's a scripture in Ezekiel 22:30 talking about intercession, you know, that so before we go out or before we make contact, there should be that prayer time, that devout seeking God. And I thought the scripture says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So God is, like you said, he's wanting us to be a part of a church, part of the body of Christ, committed, accountable to that, be prepared. And like you were mentioning about being willing to clean the church, do the yard, whatever, those things, that's a part of it. And then reaching out, it's just amazing. I live on a part of the church ground, and they weed eat and mow my grass, and it's just so sweet how they take care. We're called the Widow Circle, and they're so thoughtful. And I've mentioned it before, if it's a wedding, if it's anything, a funeral, this church is there ministering. And that's the foundation that we build on the rock, Christ Jesus. And then as the body of Christ, we minister to everybody around us. And I think that there was a little poem, I think I read it, I really love it. It's called Only One Life. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's so sums it up with what you were saying, Wild Bill. So
good.
Has anyone called in?
Anyone call in?
No.
No him?
No.
Nope. I'm so nice.
You know, one of the things that happens on that stuff of Blog Talk Mom is that if we don't really have a love for others that are lost, what I found is when I get so wrapped up into myself that way, then the things of God start becoming common to me. It loses value. I forget the price that was paid for my salvation. I forget where I could be and, you know, where the path I was on, where it was headed, and where I am now. Because it's like that hole that's inside of all of us where we all need God in our life. We need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. We got to obey those things. This is part of the same thing as part of the process that we got to be willing to submit to. And yet it's so easy, you know, to just get so wrapped up and busy in things of God that we're not really doing what God wants us to do. We're not sitting there insensitive when we're walking through Walmart or something and all of a sudden you see somebody as you're going out to your car that's just sitting in their car and they're just sobbing, you know, and there's definitely something wrong. There's a hurt that was there. And it's just little things. We had a neighbor that him and his wife, he was an alcoholic. They were having some awful fights. They had small children. And we just started inviting them to church. And we'd go by the donut shop, and they had a thing. If you got a dozen donuts, you get another dozen donuts for $1. And we'd get that other dozen donuts and go by and bring it to them after church and invite them to come. Just a simple act of kindness and invite them to church. Are they living for God the way that I think they should be living for God? No. And if you really look at anybody's life, we sort of judge everybody's weaknesses bigger than we do our own. But what I've seen is now that these people are, you know, he's bringing home his paychecks. He's not spending them all going out and getting drunk. And it's not the police over there constantly dragging him off to jail like, you know, we used to see. And all the hollering and screaming that used to be going on over there. Because God is God. And when you add God to anything, it's funny, I brought this up at church the other day. I asked a question, I said, is God able? And you can see the first thing that goes through people's mind is, able to do what? But it doesn't matter. He's able. Any situation, all situations, we all need God in every aspect of our life, with our finances, with our jobs, with our relationships, with anything that we do. We need God to be there. And when we acknowledge that and don't get to thinking like, well, God, I got this. You know, I don't need you to lead and guide me on this one here. I see the direction where we're going, Lord. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is saying, we need to veer off here and take this route. And you're like, well, that's not the direct way to get there. And it's got a steep hill. I got to climb on it. I don't want to go through there. And it's got some muds and bogs and some debris that I got to work my way through. But see, we don't understand like that thing where I was praying, Lord, add to my faith. See, I never finished that. I went back to my personal medical doctor, you know, about a week later after this had happened. And you know what? He got to pushing and prodding and going all around, and there was no pain. There was nothing that was hurt. I didn't end up in an emergency room, and unless I'm a ghost, I didn't die. So, you know, it's just one of those things that when you trust God and you take him at his word, he will do what he says he'll do, but we got to be, the Holy Ghost will lead and it will guide. And it's not going to grab you in a headlock and drag you along and make you go this way. And sometimes it's not going to make sense that you can see the mark of where you're supposed to be, but yet it takes you along a path that's indirect, because sometimes we got to go up through those hills. Sometimes we got to go through those valleys. You know, there's sometimes that we got to look at, like the parable of the sower, to realize we're the dirt. And maybe I got some rocks, and I got some stumps, and I got some roots, and I got some garbage in my dirt. Maybe it's not worked very deep. And so going through that process of letting the Holy Ghost lead and guide you, it's up to you. God's not going to take those roots and rocks and all that garbage out of your life. He's going to help you. He's going to lead you and show you how to get those things out of there. Because that's the type of loving God that he is. He didn't just say, okay, pazam, and take a magic wand and touch me on the forehead, and you've got faith. It don't work that way. And the sooner that we realize that, then the more we realize I need God with every breath I take, with every step I take. You know, Lord, order my steps. Lead me, guide me, show me. Let me be willing to submit my will to your will. Let me understand that my ways are not your ways, that I see through a glass darkly, that I can't comprehend the things of who you are and what you want to be to me, and I surely can't see the end process and how you want to go about putting that together. The only promise we have is a way of escape from sin. We don't know how God plans on working with each of us to do it, but we all have some sort of ministry that we can do to reach out to those that are lost or to encourage the others that are actually going out there and preaching and teaching. Maybe you're going to be a prayer warrior and you're going to put up a prayer covering over people that are going out, maybe with youth ministry, or maybe the youth are going to be going out and doing a street service, and you may be involved with praying for that, or making cookies, or bringing bottled water, or something. There's something that you can do for the kingdom of God that you just have to be willing to plug in and allow God to lead you into doing those things. And there again, if you make it a job, Satan can make you hate the things that you do for God. Well, why am I sitting there serving everybody and cooking this dinner and everything, and you're sitting there at the feet of Jesus? It's easy to get that attitude, but that's not the finished product that we need to be looking for. Have I got there yet? Do I love my neighbors myself? No, but I want to be. You know, I'm going to be submissive and let God let those things be in my life. So, all right, Blog Talk, I don't know what else is called in, and that's all I had.
Well, I am amazed that they didn't, because they had already contacted me, but things do happen, as we know. There's a couple of other scriptures, if we have time. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I thought, yeah, I got that one. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth, see, to all those he can show forth long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him. Now, this is talking about actually his life, but Christ came into our life so that we could be a pattern, that others could see, hey, this works. This is real. And I think that is so beautiful. And then in 2 Timothy 4:5, he says, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. That's to everybody. I love it. I love everything that you said, Wild Bill. And this has been a real joyful time to go through these scriptures with you and to know that God has picked us up. We've been the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, and God's brought us back. And oh, it's just a privilege to share that with other people. I really want to do more. I'm teaching a, Lord's opened the door for me to have a Bible study on every other Thursday, and the man and gentleman and his two sons were baptized in Jesus' name, which was so beautiful. And as you were saying, Wild Bill, it takes being involved. It takes really interceding for those people, staying involved with them and not painting them a dark picture. That was so amusing when you said that a while ago, like, oh boy, you don't know what you don't want to do that. You know, and you don't want to tell them that all their problems are over, they'll never hurt again. That's not true either. But we do encourage them in the Lord, and look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, like that testimony you just gave. You can share that. That's going to build faith in other people. It sure does your mother. I really appreciate that. So this was very, very enjoyable. And so I guess it's time for us to close down. So thank you very much, Wild Bill and Sister Starla, and those that have listened. And let's pray that there'll be great revival reached through our world and bring people to the knowledge that God loves them, died for them, rose again, and gave us the plan where we can be filled with his Spirit. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all five times it refers to it in the book of Acts, they heard them speak with tongues. So this is a grand and awesome message. and I thank God for it. So thank you again, and I hope we get to have something like this again in the near future.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, for helping us out on this. It just gets so frustrating when they have things wrong with the Blog Talk show. But, I mean, it was still just amazing to me how this whole thing works at all. That someone could thought this up, and the fact that, you know, Joy found it and brought it to us and, you know, got this whole thing kicked off. It was really unusual, you know, how this all came about being. You just had to see where everybody was at a different place in your life. I had a job that was keeping me away from home for days and weeks at a time, and getting prepared for this show as I was traveling around the country and talking to people. And then, you know, one of the things that's funny about this is it's not like standing in front of people and you can make eye contact with someone and you know that you're broadcasting. You know, I can't tell you how many times we were talking and all of a sudden you're like, hello, anybody there? Am I still on? And, you know, it's a little bit different than anything else you could have. But the different people that have reached out to us and some of the military people, it encourages you to know, because even if it just touches one person, just one, it's well worth taking the time to do this. And not to mention just the fellowship we have with you and the other people that call in and, you know, some of the people that share things when they listen to the archives. So I too, got to thinking, you know, I don't know why all these things were happening like they were, and they couldn't explain it to me at the Blog Talk show, but I thought, well, I'll take a chance this week. You know, let's do something positive to speak out and share and encourage people, you know, in their walk with God. And you always have such great scriptures and stories and examples, and it's just amazes me, you know, how that you got the energy to do this. Not just, you got to have a lot of heart to want to be able to do all the things that you do. So I love you and appreciate you for your stand on that. So I guess that's all we got, Starla. I guess it's back to you.
Well, we sure enjoyed what you guys always bring, such good stuff. Well, I have a prayer request. Our daughter-in-law was in an accident this evening, and it is amazing. God spared her, and it could have been horrific. And it totaled a car, and it was during rush hour traffic. And I want to give God all praise and glory for keeping his hand upon Casey. If you'll just be praying with us for her total healing. Nothing was broken, but she's pretty banged up. So just be keep her in your prayers.
Yeah, I think we can pray right now because the other day, you know, the thing happened with Jared with his sleep, and he woke up and couldn't move, and he heard the voice that said, not yet. I think there's some spiritual warfare going on with this couple, and I know that God wants him to be in the kingdom and be working. So, Block Talk Mom, I hate to put you on the spot. Do you mind leading us in prayer over there right now?
Absolutely not. Lord, we are so thankful that we can come before your throne anytime. Lord, we have that invitation. And Lord, we've called their names. And we believe, God, that you have already moved. And we thank you, Lord, that there wasn't a fatality in this. I thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that this will turn them and direct them to you. And Lord, that everyone that's listening, Lord, will be blessed, encouraged, that their ears will be opened. Lord, that there will be a light shine forth in darkness, and faith will rise in their heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity, program. Lord, everything that you have blessed us with, you have blessed us, Lord. Our cup runs over, dear God. Thank you, and we love you, dear Lord, and direct everything in every one of our children, grandchildren, and we praise you for it, Lord. We love you. We ask, God, that every step we make, it will be in your perfect will. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. So thankful, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Sister Starla, Bobbie, I've had a burden all day. I could not figure out what it was. I cried. I prayed. I cried. And I just pray that I had, that God was leading me to pray that prayer of protection. And I think, oh, I'm so thankful she wasn't. I mean, I know it was a horrible situation, but that she wasn't killed or, you know, broken. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And tell her that we are holding her up in prayer, believing for a quick recovery. We have Richie's, Wild Bill's testimony of how he touched him and healed him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is
Thank
moving,
you,
and we see him moving in so many ways. He's a merciful God, and I thank you, Jesus, for keeping your hand on Casey.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Starla, I know that we have time, and I don't want to, you know, I just feel the presence of the Lord so strongly, and there's a scripture in Psalms 84 and 11, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, he is such a loving God. Such a wonderful, wonderful, loving God. Our shepherd, our king. Praise and honor to him. And he reaches out with such love. That nail-scarred hand that says, let me hold you. Let me hold you close to me. And he will, and he desires, he longs to bring us into that fellowship with himself. He longs for that. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And to reconcile all things in families and every situation, God will bring it together, heal, and reconcile. So again, I thank you, Sister Stahl and Wild Bill, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, and thank you for obeying the Lord and holding her, you know, our kids up in prayer and for God's protection. And thank you, Wild Bill, for putting this together. And we want to thank everybody for listening. And thank you for your patience with this show. Anyway, we so appreciate all our listeners. And we'll see you back here again next week at your place. Good night.